Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a feast of Saint Mary, the Mother of God. Dean came up and said, well, I have trouble with that statement. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. Mary has her own name in Greek. Okay? She is called the Theotokos. Anybody ever heard that word before? Well, let's tear it apart for a minute. Theo. We probably know what Theo means, right? Theology, the study of God. Theo is God in Greek. So theology is the study of God. Theotokos. So God. So what does tokos mean? What does it sound like in English? And well, token. Tokes. Takes. It means to bear or to carry. The bearer of God. Okay? It's actually where our word take comes from, is tokos. Okay? You know, you didn't know you were going to have an English lesson today either, did you? Mary, as the Mother of God, is mentioned 44 times in the Bible, mostly in the New Testament, especially in the Annunciation, when Gabriel tells Mary she's to be the Mother of God, and in our reading today, the Magnificat. Okay? We will look at this a little bit more in depth in a minute, but there are a couple of things I want to talk about. So, how many times, sermons in Lutheran churches, have you ever heard a sermon about Mary? Never. Okay? Well, in my 8 years as a pastor, it's a first for me too. But this date is always on the calendar. August 15th is her celebration. And I thought, okay, well, it's there. It's like the elephant in the room. Let's talk about it a little bit. And the other thing is we have so many former Roman Catholic members in our church. Okay, I'm looking. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, sitting here. And you grew up with a different understanding of what, you know, Mary is to us. Now, there's a reason why we only said the first part of the Hail Mary prayer, and here's why. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Is there anything in that statement we disagree with? No. Bible tells us that, right? Okay, where we have a little bit of problems, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, as a church, we venerate that first stanza of the prayer. It's important, I think, for us to remember that Mary was blessed beyond all women. Why? Bible tells us that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay? Mary's blessed beyond all women. But that second stanza, we have a little problem. And as Lutheran Christians, why wouldn't we use that? Any ideas? All right, remember that. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Why wouldn't we use that in a Lutheran church? Well, there's something that's important. Do we need a mediator? That's what you're saying. No. Is it okay if the saints pray for us? Certainly. You think they do? Certainly. Do they have to? No. Do we have to use them as an intermediary? No. Okay, Bible tells us that. We can go directly to God. So, I think one of the most important theologies of the Reformation is that we could approach God and Jesus without a middle person. Well, here's where we look in for a little bit deeper understanding. Mary, pray for us sinners. Folks, do we really need the dead to pray for us? No. If they do, it's a blessing. But this understanding, now here's the thing I find very interesting. It didn't come around into the theology of the church until 700 AD, late 700s, almost 1800. All right, Think about 800 years. Okay? We're in the year 2000. 800 years ago was what? 1200 AD, the middle of the Dark Ages. Has the world changed a little bit since then? Now, I said the world, not the people. Okay. But, you know, we look at this kind of thing. If we did it one way for 800 years, why do we change it? Good question, isn't it? I mean, if it's the way it was because of what Jesus and the apostles said, why do we want to change it after 800 years? Okay, you see, that's it. We start running into those kind of things. John of Damascus, known as John Damascene, he said that Mary's role in the church was that of a mediator to put herself between us and God. Does that strike you to be a little funny? Strikes me to be a little funny, okay? That's where this whole idea of Marianology, is what it's called, came from, is that Mary is treated as though she is a deity too. Is she God? Is she human? Yeah. Is she the mother of God? Well, yeah, she's the mother of Jesus. And you got to remember, here's where Dean was concerned. Well, but Jesus is human, yeah, but Jesus is also divine. It's that dual nature of Christ, okay? So, this stanza does not come from the Bible. The first one does, okay? Because we actually had that in our reading today. But it came out of a meeting of theologians who thought John Damascene knew more about what was meant in the Bible than what the Bible says to us from Scripture. Okay, if you grew up Roman Catholic, we have like the Council of Chalcedon, okay, Council of Ephesus, that decide how we're going to be Christian. So what's more important, the Bible or the Council? Bible. But the Council is what we call, I'm going to say this, holy tradition, because we've done it that way means that we're going to continue to do it that way, whether it's in the Bible or not. Now, who didn't like that? Martin Luther, okay? Was he the first one? No. Surprisingly, you know who criticized it 150 years before Luther? St. Thomas Aquinas. Now stop and think about that. Here we have one of the greatest theologians in the church saying, hey, wait a second, we're not doing this right. Okay? Then we have John Huss in Czechoslovakia. Do you know that Poland and the Czech Republic today, what we know as originally Bohemia, were Protestant, and the church went in and killed almost half the populations? In fact, the church went in and took the Hussites, who were the followers of John Huss, and burned 150,000 of them on a cross, or on a stake, on the road leading into Prague. Now stop and think about that. They said that the light approached the light of day. Okay? You're not allowed to disagree. Well, now wait a second. We actually had the Reformation. When Luther, you know, we talk about that story, he was coming back from the Diet of Worms, and he was grabbed by people and taken and hidden in a castle, Wartburg Castle. Well, that's right on the Czechoslovakian border. And while he was there, guess what he found? All the writings of John Huss. Folks, we're not Lutheran, we're actually Hussites. Our theology is that of John Huss. Never heard of him, have you? Okay? He was the main thinker of Protestantism and led to the Protestant Reformation. But yet there's not one of you here that's ever heard of that. And it's sad because the guy was a great, great theologian, Catholic priest. Okay? But he started questioning, and he's the first one to go back and say, the Bible says this. So what are we going to go with? What the Bible says or what this council decided? And he said, no, we're going to go with Scripture. So what do we know about Mary from the Bible in our understanding about Mary? Well, a year before his translation of the New Testament, Martin Luther completed his commentary on the Magnificat. That's what we just had today, okay? Mary's song from Luke's Gospel. We actually use that in our canticle of the evening prayer. There's a lot of services that we have in the Lutheran Church that we very seldom do in here, mainly because to do them, I'd have to teach the entire service. But there's some beautiful services, especially evening prayer. But, you know, that's one of the reasons that I love going to the Society of the Holy Trinity, that Pastors Association. And by the way, thank you for the church for paying my membership this year. I really appreciate that. We go through every single one of the services. You know, we talk about canonical hours, Vespers, Compline, that kind of thing. We actually do that in the STS. When we go to our conventions, we keep the canonical hours. And it's surprising because we're at a Catholic seminary in Chicago. And the head of the theology department, I got to tell you the story very quickly, sat down, because, you know, we're all in clericals too. We look like good Catholic priests. And he came and sat down. He said, "Do you mind if I sit with you?" I said, "Well, not at all." And then all of a sudden, all of these students came down and sat. And we got talking about things. And I said, "Father," I said, "you know, we do Compline at 9 o'clock. Why don't you come join us in that?" And he says, "You know, I think I will." So he did. Now, there was 300 pastors there. And we have such a strong musical tradition. He came, and we sang the service in four-part male harmony. And he sat in here. He couldn't do it. And he says, "I'm sitting here listening to a Catholic service done by non-Catholics better than the Catholics do it." The next night when we did Compline, he brought every single one of his students. We had an extra 50 people who were going to be Catholic priests at our service that night. Why? Well, because there's a lot of things we agree on. But there are some things we don't agree on. And this is one of them. Well, what about Mary's Magnificat? Is it important? It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, is it? Sure it is. It's a model for Christian prayer and praise. Is that good? Well, I think so too. I mean, you look through there, feed the poor, take care of people, don't get high and mighty. It's almost like the Beatitudes is taught by Mary rather than Jesus. Make sense? Okay. But that is not dependent on merit. You don't earn, this is what Luther wrote, but rather in a response to God's grace. Here we are back with that grace again. And I preached a lot on grace. God had chosen Mary for such an important role in the history of salvation. Now think about that. An important role in the history of salvation. Why? Because she's a Theotokos. She was the God bearer. She's Mother Jesus. And that's important. And because of that, that salvation turned everything on its head in the history of the church. Thus, Christians are to respect and venerate Mary because of her faith, humility, and willingness to serve God. That's right. And stop and think about that. You know, is it okay to venerate somebody who was selected as being the most blessed to bear Jesus? I think it's fine too. Bible says it's fine. Now, in the Magnificat, Luther identified six works, okay? And I like these. Mercy, breaking spiritual pride, the high and mighty fallen, putting down the mighty, exalting the lowly, authoring trust, and giving good things. Isn't that what we usually understand about Christianity? Okay. What Luther wrote it as is life, forgiveness, and salvation. Now, last week my sermon was on forgiveness again. Why? Because life is forgiveness. And through forgiveness, we have salvation. I mean, it's not hard to understand, but the thing is, we try and make it complicated. Jeff and I have talked a lot about that. Why? Because it's too easy. If it's too easy, it's not important. We got to make it difficult. So you have to work at it, right? But the thing I find interesting about this is that God does good works too. But since it's God, is it law or gospel? Yes. Like the Beatitudes, you know, law, you know, here's what you're supposed to do. Is it law or gospel? Yes. It's out of the mouth of Jesus. Okay. But all six of those works, I think, are important because they point to the incarnation. Now, there's a fancy word. What does that mean? Incarnate through the Holy Spirit. We say it every week, don't we? What does it mean? Okay. Joined and empowered. Incarnate. It's God coming to us. That's the incarnation. We're talking about the birth. It's one of the reasons why I picked what child is this today. The incarnation is the birth of Jesus, salvation coming down from heaven for us through Mary. Is it important then for us to venerate Mary? Of course it is. Do we need her as a mediator? No, we don't. But I think it's how we receive salvation, and we receive the benefits of salvation through no merit of our own. Because remember, what is gospel? What we what? What's the word I use? Law is what we do. Gospel is what we receive. Okay? Remember in Luther, in the third article of the Creed, I cannot by my own reason or faith come to my own Lord Jesus. Okay? But how do we come to Jesus? We are called through the gospel by the Holy Spirit. You know where else says that? Catechism of the Catholic Church, written by John Paul II. When I went through seminary, we had to study that. That's what they use for training priests. Why? Because we're priests of God too. But the thing is, there are some things that are universal, and that's one of them. We are called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Christ. We are called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Christ. I had one guy argue with me one time. Well, you know, for going out and bringing people to church, that's your job, that's not our job. And so we pulled out Matthew 28:19, and I said, okay, go y'all therefore and baptize all nations in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said, where do you see the pastor there? Go ye, go y'all, go all y'all. Okay? Does it make any, you know, qualifications there? No. Get your butt out the door and go out and talk to people about Jesus. Did the pastor say butt? I'm reminded of a story somebody asked when Harry Truman was president. Had a woman's party with Beth, and they said, Mrs. Truman, is there any way that we can get you to tell your husband not to use the word manure? And she says, what do you mean? It took me 30 years to get him to say it. Everything is relative, isn't it? But what does all of this mean for us today? Is Mary not important at all? Should we ignore her completely? Was this message today sort of right on? It's sad that I haven't touched on this, nor very many people. But we do venerate Mary. She is blessed among all women. She is the God-bearer. She bore Jesus for us. Because remember, his other name is Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? God with us. But the thing is, She's not a god. You know, a lot of this that started coming out in Marianology actually was the sort of input of the moon goddess into Christianity. You know, we had the male god, so now we needed a female god to balance him. Okay? And Mary has actually taken on divine attributes. No, she's the mother of God, she's a human being, but she's a good woman. Okay? Did you know there's Lutheran churches that are named after Mary? St. Mary's Lutheran Church? A lot of Lutheran churches actually have the statue of Mary in it. Why? Because she's a good woman and she's important to venerate. But she's not our mediator and she's not God. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, remember that's what Luther said. It's a model. Luther saw Mary's song as a model for Christian prayer and praise, not dependent on merit, but rather in response to God's grace. I mean, none of us can argue with that. It's the truth. But the thing is that we said, all right, because of that second stanza, we throw the whole thing out. No, we don't. Okay, that first part is good for us to say. I would like to close my message today with what Luther wrote in his little prayer book in the early 1500s. This is even before he wrote the catechism. This is the first thing he wrote about this. In his little prayer book, which was a prototype before he wrote the catechism, Luther includes the Hail Mary prayer by stating, "Let not our hearts cling to her in faith, but through her penetrate to Christ and to God himself." All right, I'm going to repeat that. Let not our hearts cling to her in faith. All right? We don't worship her. We don't cling to her in faith. But through her, we penetrate to God and to Christ and to God himself. Because she brought Christ to us. Okay? Thus, what the Hail Mary says is that all glory should be given to God using these words. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy body, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the part we use because it is true and it is a blessing to us. So let us join with the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of God to give thanks and praise to God, through whose mercy and grace we are freed to care for our neighbors. Feed the poor, take care of your neighbors, love one another. Isn't that Mary's message? Isn't that a good message for us too? I think so. May this message of faith, through the role of Mary as the Mother of God, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.